SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Clearwater, Florida, the National HBPA Convention that is in its closing day for the most part, and a couple of more seminars and get-togethers, and then the horsemen actually heading to Tampa Bay Downs later this afternoon to take in a day of racing at Tampa, and then I think one more meeting Saturday morning for all the manager types, the executive committee, as it were. We'll talk at the end of the morning to Eric Hamelbeck and kind of wrap up the convention portion and also get his reaction to what transpired yesterday. And as we were getting off the air, basically, I think at about 11:50, a 22nd fatality at Santa Anita and the David Bernstein filly that was working, and obviously the the graphic elements and the proverbial death watch that the media on hand at Santa Anita, they got what they wanted, and apparently a certain segment of industry stakeholders are going to get what they want in the initiation of quote-unquote medication-free racing. And the subsequent 3 o'clock press conference in which a open letter from Belinda Stronach was delivered, and the initiatives that Belinda Stronach and Tim Ritvo announced in and of themselves, under under different circumstances, would be a advancement potentially, and would be a an excellent discussion, and potentially a opportunity to coalesce and bring industry interests together. In this particular backdrop, it's a rather craven attempt to deflect blame from themselves and on to horsemen and owners. Standing alone, this would be, would be, and has been a discussion in the industry, and again, it could absolutely further long term interests, and something that ideally could work and help, but under this duress, it really is a smokescreen, and it does nothing to really address. There's nothing about this announcement and the set of initiatives that addresses what transpired since the beginning of the meet. There's nothing in it that is directly connected. I've been saying for several weeks that a lot of what has gone on here, I mean, this was a self-inflicted wound that has injured the entire industry and has created essentially constant chaos for everybody from external sources and internally. And it's really the latest in a very established pattern of impulsive action that has led to unintended consequences. And frankly, that's exactly what created this whole scenario. The unintended consequences of a business-driven, a profit-driven, a handle mania that created the vacuum we've talked about repeatedly here the last several weeks, and actually really since Rick Hammerly was forced out and before him, Dennis Moore stepping away. And from there, you know, the very empty gap, the conduit of trust between Horsemen and the racing office disappeared. And instead was replaced by an odious presence that harassed and abused and browbeat Horsemen. And all of this, really a confluence of unforeseen and unintended consequences, and now a new circumstance that'll have potentially, not potentially, will have unintended consequences. I mean, so much of this open letter is just just hollow and preposterous. From my vantage point, I'm certainly quite willing to, and Horsemen are always ready at any time to adapt to, you know, the set of circumstances that they encounter, and ideally love to see this idea work. It's hard to see how it does from this starting point. We're going to talk to Steve Crist in a little bit. Steve reached out and wants to address this, and frankly, when an opportunity to hear from someone like Steve Crist, whose voice has been badly missed in any number of areas about the industry, it can't, you know, pretty much drop normal programming, as they say, to hear from Steve. Alan Foreman, the chairman of the THA. Alan will join us in this hour. We'll get Alan's reaction. And, of course, he has dealt with, and so many times that, you know, we discuss with Alan all the different issues, whether it's RMTC and all the things that face the industry and his position in it, and frankly his intimacy in dealing with the Stronach Group as the legal counsel for the Maryland Horsemen. We'll hear from Alan, always also insightful and helpful. Jay Pribman, at the top of hour two. And, of course, Jay, last Saturday, with a very pointed and forceful verbal editorial about what had happened at Santa Anita, what was happening up to that point. So, in addition to our Derby Watch discussion with Jay, we'll also undoubtedly get his thoughts on where things are this morning and where they're going to go short-term, intermediate-term, and long-term. Rick Hammerly, and Hammer's in a difficult position because, of course, as part of his departure from Santa Anita, there's only, I think, I don't know how much he can actually talk. He could probably talk in generality about a racing office challenge when it comes to implementation of, you know, these kinds of initiatives. I mean, these are not the first of their kind, and we'll see what Rick's thoughts are. Nick Tamaro, late in hour two. James Scully, Mary Rampolini. We'll get Mary's, and really not just Mary's, but everybody's opinion. The focus of the racing weekend is on. And at Rebel, the two Rebels and Oaklawn. Some other nice racing here and there, and Laurel with some of a smaller stake program, and we'll focus mostly on what's going on at Oaklawn. And there was actually, if you saw that little tidbit, but Oaklawn, I guess they misdirected one of the Asmussen horses that should have been 3-3 of the Asmussen entrance. Instead, it ended up 4-2, but they chose not to redraw when that was noticed. So I know Jay addressed that, I think, yesterday. So we're going to see if Jim Cassidy's ready for us. We can always get to Jim a little bit later as well. In the morning, the Breeders' Cup portion of this to discuss as well. Breeders' Cup is supportive of the initiatives. The Breeders' Cup has always been has tried to react to the industry leads when it came to the Lasix ban for the 2-year-olds. That it was something Breeders' Cup was happy to try, and they stated their support, and they've also more or less, I think, expect to conduct the Breeders' Cup this fall at Santa Anita. And I don't know why they wouldn't. So if we don't get Jim here right now, okay, let's take the break and come back with Steve Crist to get it started, and got room for Jim at any point. Okay. All right. I will hang for 1 minute, for 1 second. And all the spokes types and representatives that are dealing with all of this are adapting to the literally to the moment by moment, the rather mercurial outward reach. So we'll catch up with James whenever we can. And I also heard from Andy Beyer. He'll join us next week. Andy has his thoughts as well. But Steve Crist to start things off. Alan Foreman, Jay Pribman, Rick Amerley, Nick Tamaro, James Scully, Mary Rampolini, and Eric Hamilton. We've been at Clearwater, last day of the Central Gulf Coast Florida trip that started at Tampa, went to Ocala, and then came here. And it's really, it's been a terrific 10, whatever it is, 10, 12 days overall. Really nice the way it worked out. And I wish this morning I could have come on and talked about a really lovely evening hosted by Todd Mostaller from Pennsylvania. And 20, I guess 19 guests took us to Burns Steakhouse, the legendary Burns in Tampa, and really had a wonderful time. And want to thank Todd publicly. I had not been to Burns in 30 years. It was quite it's quite an experience for those of you that may have heard of it, or even if you haven't. If you're in Tampa, it's a special dining atmosphere and an experience. You tour the kitchen. They've got their dessert room. You go upstairs for dessert. There's a whole separate seating arrangement to go for dessert. It's an amazing place. So thanks to Todd. Let's take the timeout. Steve Chris joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Destination unknown. Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
I left my job, my boss, my car, and my home. I'm leaving for a destination I still don't know. Somewhere nobody must have duties at all. And if you like this, you can follow me. So let's go.
We're back at the races, Clearwater Beach, the National HBPA Convention, and Destination Unknown, a very good entree to Steve Christ's joining us, because we really have no idea what yesterday's Stronach Group pronouncement, where it's going to take things. First and foremost, always a pleasure to have Steve Christ visit. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Steve, the circumstances at Santa Anita, one of the game's absolute jewels, distressing from every vantage point, and now we've arrived at a station that really just creates untold uncertainty, and I am anxious for your thoughts.
Well, I think that the announcement that Santa Anita made yesterday, it's really one of the most fraught fraudulent and cynical things that I've seen in racing to say that we're going to deal with a spike in breakdowns by banning Lasix. It's like saying we're going to deal with car crashes by outlawing chewing gum. I mean, the two things have absolutely nothing to do with each other, and not even, you know, the most unreasonable opponent of Lasix could claim that Lasix has anything to do with these breakdowns. But, you know, you now have people who have wanted to ban Lasix for one reason or another, you know, taking advantage of this situation and exploiting these racetrack deaths to push through their long-time, completely unrelated agenda. And I think, you know, for every industry organization to have gotten behind this and said, gee, this is great, let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya, and it's the dawn of a new age in racing, I think it's absolute nonsense.
There was so much about it that it really feels like an attempt to shield themselves from complicity in creating a situation where the last two plus months occurred, and it feels like just hanging horsemen and owners completely out to dry, and without consultation, without discussion, and you know, people whose livelihoods, when it comes to breeding, California breeders, and you know, those that are in and around the business, it just seems even more irresponsible than everything they've done that led to this.
I quite agree, and you know, to as you say, just unilaterally do this. You know, it's not entirely unlike you know, declaring a national emergency when there isn't one. There is no issue regarding Lasix and breakdowns, and to use it as kind of a grand distraction and say, look at us, we're doing something, when the thing you're doing has no relationship to the problem that you're trying to solve. As I said before, it's just cynical. It's hoping that people, you know, are stupid enough to think that this is an appropriate response that's going to accomplish something, and it isn't.
Steve, observing the various moments where there's been this issue, and of course, 2012, we've had a fair amount of reference back to the winter at Aqueduct, where really a very similar pattern emerged, where obviously the track contributed to horses that were vulnerable. This whole era, it's very strange to me that we've become so heightened and aware and worked so hard across the industry, at the awareness level, the creation of the equine injury database. We started to really look at this over the last 10 years, and so you know, we're still learning. And so for people to pretend that the environment in which the industry conducts racing is, you know, is capricious and it doesn't pay attention or isn't concerned, I mean, is preposterous. But we know that internally, it's created, however, a nightmare. And I think part of that nightmare is that there's a mistake to ever try to use, you know, the decrease in injuries and deaths as a marketing tool, because there's not control. We can't control this as much as we'd like.
Yeah, I think that one thing that people just don't want to hear and don't want to acknowledge is that a lot of this is random. You've had breakdown spikes before. You had them at Del Mar 10 years ago. You had them at Naira 5 years ago. And I understand everyone wants to find a culprit and say, oh, this is why this has happened. And unfortunately, there frequently isn't a culprit. And so we've now invented one, Mr. Lasix. Again, the two things are entirely unrelated. And to pretend otherwise, and for lifelong racetrackers to pretend otherwise, for racing officials to get up and say, you know, we've solved the problem and this is an important proactive step going forward, it's just sad to see. It really is. People at Santa Anita who announced this stuff yesterday, they can't possibly believe it. They've never been opposed to Lasix before, and to come up with it as a convenient, quote-unquote, solution to this is entirely dishonest.
Steve, you, of course, spent time in management. You addressed a lot of player concerns when it came to changing the breakage policy in New York. You're as leading an advocate for the player as has ever been. On the racetrack management front, from your experience, what would you have done here, and what would you have done differently?
Well, I think that this entire story has not been handled well from the start, and the crisis management and publicity side of this was really done quite unprofessionally. And I can't help feeling that some of the impetus to do this, you know, came from outside consultants who know nothing about this industry at all, and imposed a solution and convinced them, oh, you have to do something dramatic. You know, we live in an age where it's become accepted to say the facts don't matter. All that matters is perception. So let's address a wrong perception with a wrong solution. And that's really not going to get you anywhere in the long run. And, of course, an aspect of this that really hasn't been addressed is how bad this is going to be for the customers. I mean, if this goes through and happens and you have an entire population of horses suddenly going off Lasix, an entire population of trainers finding other solutions for breeders, what you're ultimately going to do is just replace a well-regulated program of Lasix administration where everyone knows which horses are on Lasix, everyone knows which horses are getting Lasix for the first time, etc. And we're going to go back to the dark ages 40 years ago where there were other ways to keep a horse from bleeding and there were other, you know, remedies and solutions. And the betting public had no idea which horses were on them and off them, and trainers were running horses hot and cold, on and off diuretics in order to cash bets. You're going to have a Breeders' Cup where the majority of horses will have had Lasix in their last start and now will not be on Lasix, and everyone will have to guess, you know, what is the substitute they're using good enough? Will they perform as well as they have in the past? I think it's a nightmare for the horse players.
Well, and there's a part of this, and going back to the letter from Belinda Stronach and the incorporation of PETA's mouthpiece, Kathy Guillermo, that to me is a incredibly dangerous, just one of the dangerous elements. The quote, this groundbreaking plan will not bring back the 22 horses who have died recently, but it will prevent the deaths of many more and set a new standard for racing that means less suffering for thoroughbreds. That's, of course, not, you can't be guaranteed of that in any way, shape, or form. And by trying to establish this, I mean, what happens when you have another rainy winter, let's say, and you have the same cycle of potential issues? You've set yourself up for further condemnation and calls for who knows. I mean, the calls for the elimination of the sport, that you're already hearing those murmurs in California.
Well, you know, that's going to happen when people are going to exploit a situation like this, and you know, to wave the unfortunate deaths of horses in people's face and say, well, you know, now we have a reason. We're going to save lives by banning Lasix. It's just a lie. The two things don't have anything to do with each other, and it's entirely self-congratulatory. You know, people who have wanted to do this for their own reasons for a long time, you know, now have cover to say, ah, we're going to do this from a humanitarian point of view. I mean, you know, a couple of California trainers, and I hope the trainers resist this, you know, you have Peter Miller and Bob Baffert saying, I don't understand what they have to do with each other. What does bleeding have to do, you know, with fractured sesamoids? And the answer is absolutely nothing.
You talk the perception portion of this, and one of the last lines from the Stronach letter, while the cause of the injuries on the racetrack may be varied, they have one thing in common. The industry has yet to do everything that can be done to prevent them. That's the cynical and fraudulent posture, because, in fact, the industry on at every front tries and has absolutely been doing everything that they can to prevent catastrophic breakdowns or any injuries. That's what's so maddening about this, that they would take this and throw everybody else. And this is one of the real concerns, Steve, about how they operate. There's just a general disregard for the entire ecosystem of the industry.
Well, absolutely, and to, you know, vilify the people, you know, in the business, the horsemen who are doing absolutely nothing improper and are giving a therapeutic medication to these horses and then saying, well, that's the problem. It's very similar to, you know, the leading lights in this very small majority of owners and trainers who are opposed to Lasix. You know, coming out and saying, oh, it's a terrible drug and it's bad for our industry. Do I give my horses Lasix? Well, sure, I do, but that's just to keep a level playing field. It's absolute nonsense. It's just hypocrisy.
There's also a case to be made that has been discussed that at every juncture in the ongoing Lasix debate, that taking it away, It also does nothing. It's certainly not going to stop those that are cheating.
It has absolutely nothing to do with that. And one of the most maddening things to me about the entire Lasix debate is that you still have people saying, oh, well, people use Lasix to mask other drugs and to flush drugs out of a horse's system. Well, you know, that may have been true 30 years ago when we tested horses' urine instead of their blood. It's not true anymore. It's a non-issue. We do blood testing now. So, you know, to in any way try to link cheating with Lasix, again, is completely dishonest.
What do you see short-term and long-term? Is it something that catches on here? You know, one of the other cynical aspects of this is, I guess they're not doing it at Laurel and at Gulfstream. It's only there's an issue.
Yeah, that is completely illogical. I mean, I'm glad they're not doing it anywhere else yet. But I think short term you're going to have a real problem, and I think you're going to see a lot of vans loading up and headed for Oaklawn and for other places. I hope that the horsemen in California resist this and delay it and tie it up and make the case that the two things have nothing to do with each other, and resist this, because it's going to be very, very hard to put on a racing program under these circumstances. And, you know, for the Stronach group to say, well, we're going to retrain and rehome horses who have been racing on Lasix. I mean, come on, you're talking about 98% of the horses who race every day.
Yeah. I hadn't thought necessarily to bring it up, but of course the Tonko Bar bill has been reintroduced, and it was going to be reintroduced whether this was going on or not. What's your projection on how this situation impacts the latest attempt to bring this USATA, the anti-doping agency, that can't even test 2,000 boxers, but they're going to test 40,000 race winners. What's your thoughts on if this helps galvanize somehow the Tonko Bar?
Well, I think it will unjustly and unfairly increase support for this bill and increase the likelihood that it'll be taken seriously, which it never has. This bill has had no chance of passing in the 5 years since it was first introduced. It has very little support. But I think, again, we're going to have industry leaders conflating these two issues and pretending that, you know, the regulation of medication will somehow prevent horses from breaking down, and that it's a solution to the problem, and it's not a solution. It's not even related. But you know, I hate to see again this very small percentage of people in racing, these self-appointed crusaders, who are now, you know, delighted that there's a situation where they can finally make the medication changes that they've wanted to make, because they think everyone else is cheating and keeping them from winning purses, and there's absolutely no evidence of that. You know, this idea that rampant out-of-control medication abuse is going on in racing, rather than tacitly endorsing that, I wish that people would say, we keep testing the leading trainers in this sport over and over and over again in and out of competition and coming up with absolutely nothing. And, you know, instead of acknowledging that, we keep insulting them and the game and the horsemen and the public.
Steve Crist, as always, authoritative and succinct. Steve, as always, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me on, Steve.
Steve Crist, everybody, and his voice, his written missives are badly missed. Let's take a timeout. Alan Foreman will join us. THA, of course, the chairman, and we'll get Alan's thoughts on yesterday and the prospects of whether, as Steve just suggested, a challenge from the horsemen, and I saw some suggestions of that in the legal circles. So Alan will provide his insight. Jay Pridman, top of the hour. Rick Hammerly, much more. At the races, we're in Clearwater Beach. Last day of the National HPPA Convention. Stay with us.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes to the top of the hour. Jay Pridman joins us next from Southern California. Right now, Alan Foreman of the THA and many other industry-related organizations. And Alan has been at the forefront of a lot of these discussions about the course of action in the industry, medication issues, and so much more. And Alan, just off with Steve Crist, who expressed his astonishment and disgust. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for inviting me on this morning.
Alan, obviously we've had dozens, literally dozens of conversations, specifically when it came to the Lasix debate, which had more or less died down quite a bit. Yesterday, the Stronach Group takes an opportunity to use the crisis of their own creation to wave their hands and say, look over here instead. Some thoughts about what has transpired and yesterday.
Well, Steve, as you know, I was part of a team that investigated a very similar situation in New York back in 2011 and 2012. And, we spent 6 months. We did an exhaustive investigation. We gave an extensive report that I think everyone felt was credible. We recommended over 40 reforms that have been instituted in most jurisdictions throughout the country, but I guess we blew it. I didn't realize that the problem was Lasix and the use of the whip. We've just learned that yesterday, thanks to the Stronach Group. It's incredibly disheartening when I saw that statement yesterday on a number of levels. Number one, these breakdowns were not the result of the use of Lasix. If that was the case, the horses would be breaking down all over the country at alarming rates, and we would have the kind of national emergency that the Stronach Group wants to create here that doesn't exist. Lasix, and I don't want to say any more about Lasix. I mean, this is descending now into the Lasix debate, and I know that the folks who are on the other side of the debate from me, who are pushing very hard for federal legislation that would accomplish that very goal, just refuse to acknowledge that Lasix is a very safe and effective drug, and if for the horse. And if we were to deprive the horse of that drug in this country, it would create a health and welfare issue for the horse in addition to racing. And I thought that the goal here was to try to address health and welfare issues and to do what's best for the horse. So it is an absolute diversion. It's got, I don't believe, anything to do with these breakdowns any more than when we investigated the rash of fatalities in New York back in 2012. We looked very extensively at the Lasix issue and concluded it had absolutely nothing to do with it. And there is no science, not a single scientific paper, that indicates that Lasix is harmful to the horse or would contribute to horse fatalities. So that needs to come off the table right away. It's a red herring. It was done as a diversionary tactic, and it's really irresponsible for that to be a part of this discussion. I wanted to answer your question about Lasix. And I think Steve Chris got it right. I heard his comments, and I think he nailed it. I don't think I need to see any more than what he said because he got it absolutely right. And the same thing with the whip. We're all looking at the use of the whip. In today's world, the public doesn't understand necessarily the use of the whip, and we are looking at strategies to deal with that. But just to out-and-out ban it is having something to do with what's going on there. Again, without an investigation and without knowing whether, in fact, a whip contributed to any one of these fatalities, is, again, irresponsible and a diversion.
From the standpoint, Alan, of the public and the seeming eagerness to placate critics, what should the rest of the industry be doing? Because basically, it's inherited this circumstance from the Stronach Group, and what should everybody else be doing? What do you and I know you've got a important group meeting next week, and I'm sure this will be front and center. But what should the rest of the industry do? What do you expect the rest of the industry to do in response?
Well, first of all, we know that we know three facts. There were 22 fatalities. We had an unusual weather situation in Southern California this winter. And the track surface appears to have been a problem. We don't know very much else. And to me, it is absolutely irresponsible that there is not some independent investigation being conducted at every level to determine what were contributing factors, just as was done in New York. They didn't shut racing down in New York, but they moved very aggressively to investigate. And there was no stone left unturned. I guarantee you there are issues with the racing office. I guarantee you that there are concerns about medication. You can't make those allegations without knowing, in fact, the role, if any, that medication may have played. There are protocols that we believe are in place in California. Does anybody know what those protocols were? Do we know what role the jockeys played? Do we know if the jockeys had any issues? We talked about the weather. There needs to be, I think the public ought to understand what was involved with each one of these 22 horses. Were there risk factors? Did the regulators miss something? Were the horsemen irresponsible? Did the jockeys miss something? And so to be trotting out protocols that, quite frankly, already exist in the industry, California may not be doing them, or California may be doing them better than anybody else. And where there are missed opportunities here, you don't know that until someone goes in and takes a look at it and then reports to the public and tells them what happened. And they don't seem to want to do that in California. I know that in Maryland 2 years ago, we had three fatalities. And Maryland is a Stronach track, the Preakness. We had three fatalities on Preakness Day. And there was nobody in front of the press or the public to explain what was going on, what happened, or what was going to be done. And fortunately, the Racing Commission stepped in, ordered an immediate investigation that was conducted, and it was thorough. It was reported to the public, and there was an understanding of what happened. None of that's going on here. And I think that is such a missed opportunity, not only for the California horsemen, the California racing industry, but all of us who are dealing with these safety and welfare issues. That's number one. Number two, we're told about how great California is, that the vets there have to turn in their records every day and they get examined by the regulators. We know that California has an outstanding equine medical director. We're told that they are very aggressive in drug testing, out of competition testing. We could learn from that, or maybe they're not doing what they say they're doing, but we don't know that for a fact. But I can tell you in the Mid-Atlantic, from the work that was done in 2012, we have been laser-focused on these issues, and we have our annual Mid-Atlantic meeting this week, and New York in 2018 had the lowest fatality rate it has had in decades. It's astonishing, and that's because of the reforms that have been instituted. We've instituted them throughout the region, and we have a far different story to tell in the Mid-Atlantic than what they're telling in California, and it's all about transparency, too. You know, they talk in this press release about transparency. Well, transparency is let somebody go in and take a look and let somebody tell it like it is, good, bad, or indifferent. But we have a different story to tell in the Mid-Atlantic, and we're prepared to do that.
The problem, and that, and you really touched on what the difficulty is, as the terrible images particularly from the Bernstein Philly yesterday, as those circulate, people really have no point of reference. Those that have no opinion can be easily influenced by distressing imagery and a narrative that is just utterly negative. I'm sitting in Clearwater, Alan, where 3 years ago I was on a panel for the HBPA convention, and when I talked about the industry's lack of a cohesive emergency response team, I was attacked and ridiculed for having the nerve to question some people who responded the way they responded in that case to PETA's absolutely underhanded attack on Scott Blasey and Steve Asmussen, and we didn't have an answer immediately for that for the public face, and we didn't have one for Eight Bells. How many of these are we going to endure before there's a specific response team that handles these issues? Because trotting Tim Ritvo out there to say stupid things repeatedly is only making it worse.
Well, I can't disagree with you, but I will say this: you can't and should not attempt to sugarcoat any of this. It's the public is not stupid. Okay, what you need to do is be honest with the public. You need to be honest with the industry, and honesty includes being willing to take a look at yourself and to make change if necessary, and explain not only what's going on, but what you're doing to address it. That, to me, is the colossal failure here in California, that we've gone 2 or 3 weeks, and then we end up yesterday with this press release that was clearly intended as a diversionary tactic and to scapegoat and lay the blame somewhere else. If you look at that press release, banning the use of Lasix, we'll put that aside. Increasing the ban on legal therapeutic non-steroidals, joint injection, shockwave therapy, anabolic steroids, we're already doing that. Now, maybe California's not doing it, but we're all doing that. Transparency of veterinary records, I think that that's a fair question. That's a fair issue. We've been looking at that. We've been increasing the exchange of records among horsemen to identify at-risk horses. But just putting veterinary records up on the Internet I don't believe is good policy. Increasing out of competition testing, we've done it. We've been doing it. We're going to do it more. It'd be interesting to see what the results of that is. California claims they've been taking the lead on out of competition testing. They've responded to issues in out of competition testing. I mean, you go down the list, they're calling for protocols, and you've got these organizations winding up saying, great, great, great. We're already doing it. They probably don't even realize we're doing it. So, it's frustrating. My frustration comes out because the industry does not have a coordinated response, an effective response, and one that would lead to any kind of public confidence in what we're doing. And that, I think that's a failure on our part. But passing federal legislation isn't going to fix that. And, we got to fix that on our own. But when you've got a rogue group out there that wants to do it their way and claim that they're doing and everybody should follow what they're doing, it's a prescription for disaster.
One of the questions I asked Steve before we wrapped up was whether this last few weeks and yesterday's proposals, how it will impact potentially galvanize interest and support for the Tonko Bar. What's your thoughts on that, Al?
Well, it will. I mean, look, if I were on the other side, they've got an opportunity here, I would drive a truck through it, even though it's, in my opinion, irresponsible. Their goal is to eliminate the use of medication, and they have found someone willing to take the lead for them here, and they partnered up, and they're going to take advantage of this situation in California, which is about breakdowns, and use it to their advantage, and it's going to divide the industry further. And look, the industry is not going to unite behind that. We got to get rid of Lasix. That's the answer to this situation. What I would hope the industry might rally around is take a look at it. Mid-Atlantic has been working for 2 years, probably we're too long with it. A very detailed strategic plan on reducing racehorse fatalities, which has borne fruit as we've been implementing reforms here, and the results speak for themselves, and hope that the rest of the industry will look at those reforms rather than what's been proposed yesterday that most people who are signing on to it don't even realize that a lot of this is already in effect. If the Stronach Group wants to contribute additional substantial investments in diagnostic equipment, let's do that. That's fabulous. But they had proposed years ago they were going to have build a pharmacy for racing and they were going to dispense the drugs for everybody. Whatever happened to their pharmacy? So, you know, trotting out these points that may appeal to animal rights groups in the public, it sounds great, but there's no substance to it whatsoever. And if there is, it's because the industry's already doing it. And if California's doing something better than the rest of us, then we can learn from it. But you can't do it in this environment where there's no willingness to let anybody outside of their own cocoon take a look at what's going on and try to learn from it.
Alan Foreman of the THA, and Alan, I appreciate the opportunity to get the immediate reaction, and this will, of course, this will morph and go in whatever directions it goes. Just heard from Jim Cassidy, who wants to hold off until Monday. He's going to be having weekend get-togethers with owners and with his fellow trainers that he represents, the CTT, and so we'll talk to Jim Cassidy on Monday. And Alan, I will look forward to seeing you next week.
Great, thanks, Steve. We'll see you at the Mid-Atlantic meeting next week.
Absolutely, Thursday, and THA Racing to follow on Twitter. Appreciate Tom Lemaire, of course, does a lot of the back work on the publicity side for the THA tracks and the website that they put together, which is absolutely a tremendous resource, and we don't mention it enough and how helpful it is. So the THA and the THA, for those of you that don't necessarily understand the as Satish famously called it, the alphabet soup, the Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, which basically serves as a similar similar function as the HBPAs, and representing the horsemen in dealings with the racetracks. And Alan and his members in the association, and of course HBPAs, you know, that. Then in California, it's even a different entity when it comes to the TOC. But the rest of the country is represented, the horsemen, in the two entities, the HBPAs and the THA. So THARacing.com, if you haven't visited the website that Tom Lemaire built for Alan and for the horsemen. Let's take a break, top of the hour here, and hour two starts with Jay Privman of the Daily Racing Forum, and of course has been covering Southern California in particular his entire career as a race writer, and his thoughts on the situation as well as Derby Watch, and the two Rebels, and last week, too. And, of course, you know, I should mention with Alan, the launch very soon of the Match Series, year two, and its revival. And it's going to be a little different this year with five match days at the racetracks at Monmouth and Penn National and Parks and Delaware and Laurel. Instead of having races all over the Mid-Atlantic on the same Saturdays, they're going to be concentrated on big, you know, match festival days at the five tracks. It should be terrific. One every month starting in April. Let's come back to Clearwater after this with Jay Prittman.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sermon Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.